You're listening to KNKX. In the last month, SeaTac Airport has opened up new direct routes to destinations in Asia. The airport bills itself as being roughly equidistant between the rest of the Pacific Rim and Europe. KNKX travel expert Matthew Brumley has spent decades leading tours around the world, but hasn't spent a ton of time in Southeast Asia. He recently returned from a visit to Cambodia and Vietnam and told All Things Considered host Ed Ronco all about his trip down the Mekong River.
So when you leave Phnom Penh, you have a full day sail down the Mekong towards Vietnam, and you have to cross over. And at the border, there's like border police that board the ship on these kind of rusty old sampans, these old little boats. They come on board and they check passports and do all that. And as soon as you get to the border, you arrive in this amazingly bustling commercial place of the lower Mekong.
I'm seeing boats and ships in every direction. Dozens upon dozens of boats moving people, cargo, rice, chickens, all sorts of goods. And it's pretty amazing.
It smells like diesel fuel, fish. There's a lot of fisheries along the waterfront, so you have that fish feed. You know, I don't know if you ever smelled that before, but it doesn't have a pleasant smell. Then you can, of course, smell the kind of the brackish water. The air is very heavy there because it's humid. And then when you go into the villages, they're cooking everything under the sun, so all these spices and humidity, and it's just completely different place, different vibe, different, just shockingly different.
We're going to hear from someone in just a moment named Stephen Grace, who you spent some time with on this trip. Tell us a little bit about him.
Stephen is one of the most interesting people that I've run across in the last 20 years. He's an American who has, seems like, continually reinvented himself over the years. And he's left the United States and he's moved to Southeast Asia at a time when many people are retiring to golf courses and slowing down. Stephen's revving up.
I was really lucky. I was working at the University of Colorado, just finishing up a contract there. Another boat goes by, and some friends called me literally out of the blue as I'm sitting in my office, serendipitously thinking, oh, where else can my life take me? And within 2 weeks, they had made me an offer to head up a project inside of the Angkor Park complex, Angkor Archaeological Park, working under APSARA, the Park Authority, and UNESCO. And I'm just about to start my eighth year now in Southeast Asia.
He's 68. He looks like he's, you know, 55. And he's got the energy level of a 22-year-old. And he's passionate about the environment. He's passionate about travel. And he's passionate about the future of the planet and what is happening with these massive population centers and pollution in places like the Mekong, the plastic problem that we have in the oceans. And he's really, you know, dedicated to spending these last 20 years on this planet to helping leave a positive imprint.
Issues with climate, issues with growth, issues with sustainability. These are countries that are actively grappling with problems in the scale of which we can't even understand. I really feel like if things are to sort of sort themselves out for the planet, the solutions are really going to be found in Asia. This is where people are. This is where resources need to be very smartly allocated. And I think people need to come, Americans, invite them to come and see that as well, in addition to the beautiful scenery and friendly people.
President Trump was there when you were there, his most recent summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Did you feel that at all?
Nobody felt it. The United States is not a player there. It seemed like a sideshow. I mean, it's really, if you go to Phnom Penh and Saigon and some of the other cities around Vietnam and Southeast Asia, Bangkok, the players are Japan, you know, South Korea. China is the big player.
You've always focused on people when you travel, and Stephen seems to have that ideology too.
Yeah, Stephen and I share that.
One of the guides was answering a question about, one of the guests said, you know, what are the, you know, how many people or what religions do people identify with? He answered, well, about 30%, a little less than 30% are Buddhist, about 10% are Catholic. There are a couple smaller religions. Well, you work out in your head, well, that's under 50%. And of course, we all understand that it's an authoritarian communist government, but that doesn't get close to touching what the beliefs of the average Vietnamese, whether they're Buddhist, Catholic, a smaller, maybe lesser known religion, they all have a huge sense of family. They have a huge sense of tradition. So every house you go into, even modern apartments, will have a small altar or a prayer site dedicated to their family, dedicated to the parents, dedicated to any family member who's been lost, whether it's for natural reasons, whether they passed away during one of the wars, one of the conflicts. There is an incredible connection to family here. And if you ask people what the religion of Vietnam is, it's not capital R, it's really capital F, family.
This will be a frequent destination for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other eye-opener is, you know, it's 10 hours to Amsterdam from Seattle. We're 10 hours from Amsterdam. We're 10 hours from Japan. You can get either place. And then once you get there, you're just like a two-hour flight to wherever, Hong Kong or Taipei or South Korea or Vietnam or Cambodia or Thailand.
Matthew Brumley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ed.
That's travel expert Matthew Brumley speaking with KNKX's Ed Ronco about his recent trip down the Mekong River. We'll check in with Matthew occasionally about his travels around the world. You can see some pictures and hear the conversation again on our website, knkx.org.